You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Your Bibles today, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be different. You know, when you get saved, you're different. Everything, you're a new creation. Old things I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. And when you do them, you're always convicted. That's the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a will for your life. A will is just simply, it's His desire. Are you fulfilling His desire? It's a plan for your life. Are you fulfilling His plan? You know, I know so many preachers today that believe they're supposed to pastor a church. I don't see any call on their life. They're good men. They love the Lord. But I don't see a call on their life. I see that they're good CEOs. I see that they're good organizers, but I don't see the call of God. And so a lot of fellows say, I've got to be a pastor. I've got to be a pastor. You know, I have 75 employees around here and there's one pastor. All of these men that are behind me and are in the auditorium, they could all pastor a church. One of them may pastor this church when I get too old and die, and one of them may be the pastor of this church. God knows all about that. But God's going to raise up one pastor. You know, there's such a thing. I think of my friend John Wilkerson there in Hammond. He has developed a staff that's been there on this staff. Most of them have gone through three pastors. And they just, all these men are capable of pastoring churches, but there's one pastor, John Wilkerson. He's doing a great job. It's the largest independent fundamental Baptist church in America. But he's got all those staff that just said, when it came available, I preached the next Sunday when that church came available. One man said to me, Pastor, probably about 10 years ago, Brother Treiber, you preached here all day, and our deacons would like to vote. We would like to vote you to be our pastor of First Baptist Church. I've never said this before. First Baptist Church of Hammond. We'd like you to be our next pastor. And I, you know, kind of puffed up, excited about it, preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. We'd like you to be our pastor. And then he said, then we got thinking about your age. And my puffed up went like a balloon and you put a needle in it, you know, went all down. And they said, you're just too old to be our pastor. I'm not too old to pastor, I'll tell you that right now. But I know some men, and all of us do, that should not be a pastor. I know of some men that are sitting in auditoriums that should be a pastor. God's touch is on your life. Perhaps in this auditorium. God has a plan for your life. You know, so many people want to be the CEO company. Maybe God's never created you to be the CEO, or the CFO, or the OOO, or the WOF, or whatever it is. But God has created you to be a help. The Bible says God has a will, the will of God. God has a will for your life. His will does not include you to be angry. That's not God's will. Amen. It's not God's will for you to be jealous. It's not God's will for you to have envy. It's not God's will for you to be a drug addict. It's not God's will for you to be a drunk. It's not God's will to be in pornography. It's not God's will to do whatever you want to do. No, God has a will for your life. What is God's will for your life? Are you fulfilling the will of God in your life today? Jesus said, John chapter 8, I come, listen to this. This is Jesus speaking. I come to do thy will, O God. What was the will of the Heavenly Father? That Jesus would leave heaven's glory, be wrapped in the womb of a virgin called Mary, be given birth, and as a baby grow, tabernacle with us for 33 years, and die on the cross for our sins. That was the will of God for His Son, Jesus Christ. And He said, I come to do thy will. Jesus is in the garden. He's praying, and when you begin to pray, he began to sweat drops of blood. The Bible said, Jesus, let this cup pass from me. He wasn't trying to get out of the cross. That's why he came. When a person sweats blood, they are on the verge of dying. And Jesus said, I didn't come to die in a garden. I came to die on the cross for mankind's sin. And thank God for the fact that God let him live, and he was scourged, and he was buffeted, and he was spit upon, and they laid him on a cross and nailed his hands and nailed his feet, hoisted that cross and threw it in a hole, and he died. And the last word he said was tetelestai. That's a Greek word, means it is totally finished. He paid for your sin. He paid for my sin. And then he allowed you to be born. And when God saw your, he said in Psalm 139, he knew your substance before it even came together in your mother's womb. God knew what he wants for your life. Some of you, God's will for your life, yes, work a job, but be a Sunday school teacher. Be a bus worker. Be a choir member. Be an usher. But truly serve God. God has a will. Notice verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies. Bodies. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, please. We are trichotomous people. What is a trichotomist? Tri means three. We are three-part individuals. Look what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. And the very God of peace, God says your spirit, you have a spiritual part of your life. Every person born has a spiritual part of your life. And God says your spirit, the next one, your what? Soul, this is your mind, your mind, your thinking capacity. And lastly is your what? God said that's his divine order. Spirit, spiritually first, your mind second, your body last. But what we've done in our society, we have made and elevated the body is priority. That's what Hollywood does. They make the body the priority. And so we bring the body number one position, and everything is about my body. How I look, my weight, my hair, my makeup, my clothing, everything is about the body. Look at me, my body. But God wants the body to be last. In the morning when you wake up, you need to obey the Spirit of God. So when the Spirit of God wakes you up, you need to get up because you are listening to the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Your spirit then tells your mind, you got to get out of bed. That's your soul. Your mind now says, I've got to get up. Lastly, your body, so your body's following your soul and your spirit. But what we do today, the alarm goes off. Our body says, I'm still tired. I think I'm gonna sleep another I'm gonna sleep another 5 minutes. Have you ever done that? We've all done that, I'm certain. I'm gonna just do that. Our body is now dictating to our mind, and our mind says, I'm gonna stay in bed, and our spirit gets neglected entirely. It's been my whole life. I don't have to, it's just my makeup. I don't have to set an alarm. If I go to bed, I'm preaching somewhere, I get to bed at 1:30 in the morning, I get to the hotel, and I have to catch a 5 o'clock flight, means I gotta get up at 4. I can wake up about 5 minutes before 4 and get going. It just happens. But I don't ever set an alarm, but about between 4:45 and 5:15 every day I wake up. My spirit is telling me, get out of bed, Jack. My body is saying, just 15 more minutes. But my spirit says, I want to work with you. I want to talk to you. I want you to get in my word. I want you to get in my word, and I want you to get in prayer, and I want you to have a cup of coffee too. And I get a cup of coffee. God says, I want you to do that. And you know, I Brother Poussin, you're the same way. I know you are. We want to get out of bed. I want to walk with God. I want to talk to God. Brother Martinez, what happened to you? You've lost some weight, brother. And you're a little bit lighter colored today. Brother Martinez left last Sunday night for the Philippines. And he went to church yesterday. Yesterday was Sunday. You understand that? So he went to Sunday morning. We don't fly on airplanes on Sunday, but he's flying right now. He texted me from the plane early this morning. Did he text his wife? I'm looking for his wife. Did he text you today? He did. Well, good. But so he's flying home today. He'll be back tonight. So everything's okay, right? And you did a good job today leading the music. But my body has to be last. But I didn't sleep. My wife knows this is true. She says to me every day, how'd you sleep? I said, you won't believe it. Last night I slept 1 hour. But what did I do? My spirit says, you got to get out of bed. So my spirit obeyed my mind. I don't want to be led by my mind. Well, I think. I don't care what you think. Well, I tell you what, my mind's telling me, you're tired, Jack. You've got to sleep. No, because my spirit says, get out of bed. And my spirit tells my mind, and my mind tells my body. Go back to Romans chapter 12. By the will of God, we are three-part man. I want you to see this spirit, soul, and body. Be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. The will of God is, number one, always good. It says it right there. What is that good? Good means joyful. And so God wants you to have a joyful spirit. I get to get out of bed today. Amen. Praise God. I get to have a cup of coffee. I get to read my Bible. I get to pray. I get to go to work. I get to go in traffic. I get to do all this today. When I get up in the morning, I begin to pray through the day. I look at my schedule. I have the best schedule in all the world. I look at, here's an appointment I have. Here's another appointment I have. Here's a staff meeting I have. Here's, I'm going to be working on elementary chapel and high school chapel and college chapel. Here I'm working on this series. I've got it all ready for Wednesday nights, a week from Wednesday night. And I got a series, a seven-week series coming. And I'm so excited about all that God's doing. I get thinking, and then tonight I get home, and first thing that happens, I walk in the door, and my wife says, sit in your chair. I got to rub your feet for a few moments and massage your back every single night. Well, maybe that doesn't happen, but that's a good thing to happen. God says, my will is a good will. Your will is a bad will. Well, I want to do this, and I want to go here. I want to miss church, and I don't want to read my Bible. I want to save money, and I want to get rich, and I want to. No, that's not God's will. That's not a good will. God has a good will for you. The good will is a respectable. Good is respectable. It's good. It is that which is joyful. Now, they're all good. I've heard some guys say, well, if you're real spiritual, you get in the good will of God. If you're really spiritual, you get into the acceptable will of God. If you're really good, you get in the perfect. No, I think it's a growth. I'm at the last one I get to in a moment, because I've lived a long life. It's the perfect. I am in the perfect will of God. But I've lived my 20s and my 30s and my 40s and my 50s and my 60s, and I'm living through my life now. I've outlived Lester Roloff. I've outlived Jack Hiles. I've outlived Oliver B. Green. I've outlived Curtis Hudson. I've outlived all these great preachers of the Word of God. And now I'm at my age that I'm at. And I'm loving everything about life. I love living with my wife. Praise the I love our children. I love our grandchildren. Got a granddaughter getting married this week. I love all of our kids. I love my church so much. I love these staff, man. I love this. Tomorrow morning staff meeting. It's our staff orientation week this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm so excited about being with those people. I can hardly wait. I'm just excited about being together with God. I love life. That's the perfect will of God. But he says it starts with the good will. Are you in the good will of God? Are you joyful in your life? Are you moody and upset and angry and then you're not in the good will of God. You're not in the will of God. Amen. Then he said, not only is it good, it's acceptable. Acceptable means that you're fulfilling the will of God. Are you in the good will of God? Are you joyful about life? Are you joyful? Kids, are you joyful where you're at in life? Say, I have a terrible home. Well, many of you do. God bless you. But God has put you there so that one day you could be a youth pastor's wife or a pastor's youth pastor's wife or a youth pastor, and you can help so many young people. I live in a home where there's drugs and drink and divorce and sorrow. I live in a home without a dad or a mom, but God's given you all those experiences. That's a good will. You can be joyful. Not about all the activity that's going on, but you can be joyful in life and then acceptable. That's, I'm fulfilling God's will. I'm laying concrete every day of my life. I'm a contractor and I pour concrete. There's nothing wrong with pouring concrete. We have so many builders in our church. You're not second rate because you're a builder. I could tell you every builder we have in this church, Brother Manna, is in the will of God. Amen. We have people in this church. So we have 100 people in medicine in this church. You're fulfilling the will of God in your life. We have people that are in business. You're fulfilling the will of God. We have 75 people in our church that are retired. You are fulfilling the will of God. That's why I'm having a retirement breakfast real soon in September, because I want you to do something for God. J.C. Penney says you don't retire from work, you retire to something. You always retire to something. Are you doing something with your life that's a good will? You're joyful about it. A man ought to be able to get up in the morning, a builder, and say, I'm going to frame a house today. I'm excited about framing this house. You're in the good will of God, and it's acceptable. You're fulfilling the will of God. And then what's he say? Thirdly, the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. Brother Tully, you're a contractor. You and I are about the same age. But I'm telling you what, he's having the time of his life. He's raising his hand back. He's serving God with his life. That's the perfect will of God for his life. I'm preaching. That's the perfect will of God for my life. Amen. Are you in the perfect will of God? Well, we're going to close her down. But when you discover God's will, here's what's going to happen. One, you're going to serve him. Look at verse 3 through 8. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according to what God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The verse number 6, there are gifts that are differing. And the gifts, verse number 7, are ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teacheth. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. God says all these gifts, if you're ruling, if you're over people, you're a CEO, you're a businessman, whatever the case may be, if you're exhorting people, you encourage. Your kids, your elementary kids. I've got junior high and high school in here. But your elementary kids are so awesome. I saw JD this morning, his mom, happy birthday, his mom, and dad pulled up about 7:30, I was out here. And JD, just as 3 years of age, I said, hey, JD, across the parking lot. He goes, hi, pastor. Now that means nothing to you, but boy, that really kept me going this morning. Hi, pastor. He said it with joy in his heart. Like, I'm glad to see you. Hi, Pastor. Are you encouraging? That's what that exhortation. I want to encourage every little child I see.
Amen.
Every child I see. Oh, that dress is beautiful. Oh, you look so handsome. Oh, you played a good game. Oh, you're ready for this. I want to encourage every kid. Exhortation. You see, when you're in the perfect will of God, you're going to be serving Him. Not only will you serve Him, but you're going to be kind. Verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. When you are not kind to another person, whether saved or unsaved, and sometimes in our churches, Brother Chuck, sometimes these deacon boards, you're a deacon. I have 44 deacons. I thank God for our deacons. You have given me 44 good men. They're good men. But don't ever criticize them. God has not given you the ministry of criticism. God doesn't do that. I can hardly wait September. I get to meet with those deacons. I get to meet with them again. God says be kind to every deacon. Those that are making decisions that I don't know if they're right or wrong, but I'm wondering about it. Those that are going through hard waters and health issues and age issues, whatever it is, I want to be a blessing to them. And so you're going to serve God when you're in the will of God. You're going to be kind to one another. Are you kind to your wife? Are you kind to your husband? Look at the third thing that's going to happen. You're going to become a prayer warrior. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer. Are you praying? Do you pray? When you're in the perfect will of God, you pray. You say, God, I need your help. And lastly, when you're in the perfect will of God, you're of a humble heart. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I love to see a man who's found the will of God. He is so humble. Not proud, not arrogant, not trying to position himself. He's just kind. He's a kind person. This church is filled with people that apparently have found the will of God. Because so many of you are so kind. This church is a church that's serving God. This church is a church that is kind and prayerful and humility of heart in serving God. I close today. You know, Ms. Treber and I came here 50 years ago. And when we came here, we didn't own anything. Personally, I owned an old Ford, had 100-some thousand miles on it, but we didn't have anything. I had one green suit. I remember that one green suit, and I had two ties. So I'd switch the tie out. You know, I really looked pretty cool. But one green suit, that was all I had. And eventually, I got a black suit, I think. We the church did not own any property. We didn't have any songbooks. We had secondhand song. We had no Lord's table set. We didn't have a Baptist. We didn't have anything. We were renting a building. But look what God's done in 50 years.
Amen.
That pulpit out in that lobby was my first pulpit. I preached out behind that pulpit from 1976 to 1981, 83. And then I preached from the next pulpit for 25 years. This is my third pulpit. And I remember designing this pulpit, and then it was made for me. And it was given to me. I love this pulpit. I love that this is our church verse, that in all things he'll have the preeminence. Can I tell you from that day, in those days, I was just trying to find the good will of God. I wanted to be joyful about it. The good will of God. And then as I got older, I find the acceptable will of God. I was fulfilling the will of God. You're not going to believe this, but it took me 10 years to understand marriage. And I understood that I don't understand marriage. But it took me 10 years to figure out my wife, to know her likes and dislikes. It takes time. And we had a good marriage, and we had a wonderful marriage those 10 years, but I understood it after 10. And about 6 months later, I'd been pastoring here about maybe a year later, almost 10 years, and it was like a light came on. I knew who I could have speak here and who I should not have. This guy's a great guy. I could tell you a man of God that is a great man of God, but God's never given me peace in 50 years to have him preach here. And I don't know why, just God hasn't given me peace about it. I love him, I support him, I'll send him money, I'll do whatever. But I'm at the point in my life, I'm not just in the good will of God or the acceptable will of God, I'm in the perfect will of God. And I've been in that perfect will for decades now. It doesn't mean, Brother Sam, that I don't have problems. It doesn't mean we don't have lawsuits. It doesn't mean that we don't have trials. It doesn't mean that we have enough money. We never have enough money. It doesn't mean that we have enough workers. The laborers are few. But it means I'm in, Brother Miller, I'm in the perfect will of God tonight. Today, I'm in the perfect will of God. Have you discovered God's will? Well, then just start serving Him. You'll discover it. Well, then just start being kind to people. You'll discover it. Well, then just start praying. You'll discover it. Well, then just start walking humbly before God. I close with this illustration. I closed a few minutes ago, but now I'm closing for the last time. Ladies, you can go ahead and put your shoes on now because we're getting ready. But I remember my dear, dear friend, Dr. Bobby Robertson. He died at age 86. I talked about him last Sunday night. I've got him on my heart. It was August he passed away, his birthday. When he passed away, but I love Brother Roberts. He was just an eighth grade educated man, pastored an auditorium this size, packed it out every Sunday, large church, larger than ours. But Bobby Robertson was praying. I give this little prayer card. I'll give it to the staff this week. I'll give it to the college kids. I'll give it to the high school kids this week, next week. He prayed. I got done preaching, and he prayed, Lord, help us to walk humbly before Thee. Help us to confess our sins. Help us to be real. My wife was at that meeting with our kids. Our kids were young. I pulled out a 3x5 card. I said, Bobby Robertson's prayer. I came home on Sunday night. I said, folks, I haven't had a study for this prayer, this message. It's just the prayer of a man of God. Help us to walk humbly. Walk humbly before God. Help us to confess our sins every day. Help us to be real. That's Bobby Robertson's prayer. That's where God wants you today. God wants to get you in the center. Thank you, Brianna, for singing it. The center of His will. That's where God wants you.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.